Folks, before we get started with the homemade broadcast, I want to tell you quickly about NTTFitness.com. What is that? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you're like me, if you're like most Americans, you're fat, you're lazy, you want food, and you want it now. You're hungry, you're going to go through the Burger King drive-thru, and you're going to get one of those dollar tacos because you want to see what all the fuss is about, and you're disappointed, and you should be. You should be ashamed of yourself. NTT Fitness is a food delivery service, but it's not just food. It's good food, and it's good for you. Use my code LEVELUP15. You'll get 15% off your first order. There's macros, there's micros. It's stuff you should put in your body. NTTFitness.com. LEVELUP15, 15% off your first order. All right, let's start the show.
Beach, drive, drug, car, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioCP.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program, folks. Phone line is open, 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com is the website. You can follow me on social media. Encourage you to do so. Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man. Facebook, HMB Radio, all one word. And follow Radio St. Pete while you're there as well. Radio St. Pete. It's real easy. RadioSaintPete.com on Facebook, Radio St. Pete on Twitter and Instagram. How the hell are you? I'm here on a beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. I'm recording this from Cox Media Group Tampa, hiding in the production room. It's so weird when there are actually people here. There's nobody here, though, on a Saturday, which is pretty great. So you gotta love that. So at least I have some peace and quiet. I hope you're well. I'm good. I'm sore. My body is just falling apart. I'm so scared. I'm fearful of what my life's going to be like when I'm 50 years old. Everything hurts. I'm going to be 35 in a few weeks. That's old. It's not old, but it's old. When I thought about being a person, when I was a young man, a boy even, I thought, oh, what's an adult? That's like 24. 24 years old, that's an adult. No, it's not. This is an adult. I'm an adult now. So I never even considered the fact that I would be like this. I never thought I would be in pain all the time. You don't think about that stuff when you're a boy, a person, a young person. Your body's fine. You can just jump up and down, get right up out of bed in the morning. No problem. No problem. And I don't think I should be this way at 35 either, by the way. I think I'm going to have a problem with, I don't know, if people's backs start going out. My back hurts now. I don't think I'm supposed to have back pain in my 30s. What am I going to be like when I'm 50, 60, 70 years old? I think I'm just going to die. I think my body is giving up now. It's letting me know, like, this is not going to last. This is not a long-term solution. You're going to have to figure something out. I just hope that I can maybe put my brain into some sort of computer that's coming, Elon Musk is working on Neuralink. That's a thing. And you'll just upload your brain into the internet and live forever. Got to be honest with you, doesn't sound too appealing either. It's not going to be good, the things that are happening in the future. It's all going to be bad. I can't imagine a situation where it's going to be great. Maybe it will. I think humanity will either crumble, completely crumble. They'll invent these machines that will eventually kill us, or we'll probably more likely kill ourselves. Machines are scary, but I just can't really picture robots just, you know, getting to the point where they don't really need us anymore. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I'm not a scientist in the field, clearly. But maybe we can get to the point where, I don't know, we're able to produce this technology. Like, we can finally have this socialist utopia that everybody wants. You know, you'll just have, like, these machines that just do everything for us. And we'll be totally free to be bored. I can't imagine, oh, I could just do whatever I want. What do I do? Oh, I want to be a painter. And then you paint for a few hours, and you're like, well, this, what else can I do now? Like, we're going to be so bored if it ever gets to this point. We need to work. It's in our nature to work. We had to work for survival, human beings, for hundreds of thousands of years just to stay alive. And now we're advancing so fast with technology, we don't really need to do that anymore. So we're kind of like, oh, well, you know, life is just existing. Life is struggling to be here. But we were able to hack the system somehow. Whatever it was that made human beings into human beings, it has this special little fairy dust sprinkled on it that no other species has been able to duplicate or even get close to. So now we've made these machines that make our lives easier. You know, automation's already putting people out of work. So I don't think it's going to be a positive experience to be a human being living in, you know, 2100s maybe, but it's advancing so quick. This could be the thing that my generation has to deal with, and our generation's kids, definitely, it's probably going to start to feel the effects of this. I mean, people are already feeling the effects. I went in the freaking CVS. There's nobody there. There's never anybody. There's never a cashier at CVS. You ever notice that? If you go in at night anyways, I guess there is during the day, but at night, never. They have a bell. Ring the bell. Ring the bell for service. It used to be like that. Now, nobody. There's a 70-year-old woman who shouldn't be working, but she has to because she has to get her insulin. So she has to work this job at night in order to afford her insulin to stay alive. That's life, though. That's life, struggling to stay alive. That's what it is. So she's living in the old school realm of existence, of life. She's fighting to stay alive. God bless her. She shouldn't. She should give up. Well, you don't need to be here. It's not that great. But she's fighting to stay alive. She's working this job. Walking around. Not doing anything. Just walking around, patrolling, making sure people aren't stealing stuff. Cameras are there, though. They'll catch you if you're stealing stuff. Some 16-year-old boy is stealing condoms right now. Somewhere in a CVS. That's going to be a permanent ding on his record. Guess what? Not going to college now. No college will accept you. It's very competitive now. So this woman is just walking around. I used to ding the bell, and she would come walk around the corner, downtrodden. She looked tired. I felt like I had to say something to her. Didn't really want to, but I felt like I needed to say, hi, hi, I'm a person, you're a person. We're here on the planet together. Hello. I hope things get better for you without actually saying that. I hope you can afford your medication. And I hope you don't have to do this very much longer. Not like she dies, but, you know, I hope something happens where she, you know, gets a scratch-off ticket one night and she doesn't have to do it anymore. She gets $5,000 a month for life, you know, for however long that is. She has diabetes. It won't be that long. But she'll at least get to be bored for a while. She'll get to retire and be bored. She'll paint for a few hours a day. And she'll get the full life experience. She struggled to stay alive, and then she didn't have to do it anymore. But they don't even have those ladies. Like, that lady's just walking around. Now it's a scan your stuff, you do it, because I'm working for them now. I'm working for CVS. So I have to do the work, then give them money for the stuff. So I got to be the cashier, ring myself up, which is kind of good because you're never buying stuff in CVS that you're, you know, amped that people are seeing. You know, you always have to go in there for some sort of cream or something. I had to go in there because I have a rash just above my butt crack. Don't know what that's about. It might be Pelican Pub. I don't know if you heard about that. Pelican Pub, some bench in Pelican Pub was giving people rashes, and they didn't know what it was. Then the health department came in. They found bed bugs. They found, and then they just didn't know what it was. I guess they thought it was the cleaner or something that they were using on the bench. But, yeah, I don't think I went to Pelican Pub. I don't go out anymore. But maybe that's what it is. But anyway, I have a rash on my butt crack, just above there. It's very itchy. It's very uncomfortable. This is an old people thing, too. I have a rash. So you got to go into CVS. You got to buy stuff you don't want to see. I don't want anybody to know that I'm buying hydrocortisone cream. Nobody needs to know that. So I kind of like that idea. Okay, well, I'll just scan it myself. Nobody's got to know. If you want to buy condoms and stuff like that, then you got to... That's always, you know... Because people know you're going to be banging. You're like, your penis is going to be inside that thing and then inside some other thing later. That's what you're buying these for. Nobody needs to have that information about you. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is a good thing then. It's not. But, you know, this is trade-offs. There's no solutions, only trade-offs is basically what I'm getting at here. And you can read about Pelican Pub, by the way. I wrote a little story about that on hmbradio.com this week. I put it on Reddit. Maybe not my best work, I will say. I feel like I'm tired all the time. You know, I'm doing my day job. And I'm sorry for complaining about this all the time. You guys don't care. You guys are here for the podcast. You want to be entertained. And I'm trying my best. But I'm putting out now, you know, now I'm doing Stay Woke at Night with Anna. Now I'm doing the Johnny B Show, kind of taking over the third mic and the production over there. So I just got a lot on my plate. So now I'm here on a Saturday on my day off recording a podcast. Not complaining. I'm just saying, you know. So I want to like do stuff with this website too, hmbradio.com. I want to like cover, give a hopefully entertaining spin on local news. You know, obviously you shouldn't go there for your hard news, right? You know, it's got silliness kind of sprinkled on news. So I wrote about the Pelican Pub thing just briefly, and I shared a story about Pelican Pub in the story that involved me. Like Pelican Pub is an asshole. It's just a dive bar. Everybody knows what it is. That's why people like it, I think, because it's just a place where you can get some cheap drinks on the main block, and you understand that there might be bed bugs in there. You understand that you might get a rash if you sit on the bench. Don't sit on the bench. Everybody knows this. This is not science. You know, everybody knows you don't sit on any furniture at Pelican Pub. But some people did. They complained. They put a Facebook post up. And then you know, local media gets involved. I'm guilty of it. I wrote a little tiny story about it. I put it up on Reddit, and I got some person on there, because people are mean, you know, on the internet. Somebody commented on how dumb this that they lost brain cells reading this. And it wasn't really what I didn't write that much about it. I kind of shared the person's Facebook post, and then I shared a story about how I wouldn't even use the bathroom in Pelican Pub because it was so disgusting. But you go read it for yourself. Maybe there's errors in it that I didn't catch. That's possible. I can read those things 10 times, and I'll miss one little error, and then I see it a few days later. I go, oh, God. Without fail, always happens. But go read it for yourself at hmbradio.com. Click the news section. Scroll down a little bit. It will be there, and you can read about getting diseases at local bars. Pelican Pub. I went in there a few years ago with my buddy James. And James says, I got to use the bathroom. And I said, yeah, I do too. So we go to the men's portion. He goes in. Somebody came out before him. He goes in. And then he opens the door and goes, sorry. And then I see the toilet full of excrement. Completely full. Won't flush. I'm not going to dare touch the handle on this thing because it is just about ready to overflow. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a nightmare. What am I supposed to do? I don't want to have to be the person that opens the door to a stranger and leaves this mess. for them because it wasn't even me. And I don't even think it was James either. I don't think James did this monstrosity to this toilet. But now I feel like I'm on the hook for it. He left me high and dry. He wasn't taking it. He knew it was going to be me next. So he's like, well, it's your problem. That's what guys do to each other, you know? So I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm looking for, they have a plunger in there. And I'm plunging some other human's dookie, trying to get it to go down. So this other person that's behind me doesn't have to deal with this. Because I'm nice. I'm a nice person. And I also didn't want the embarrassment of them thinking, oh, my God, this person just destroyed this bathroom with his poo. I don't want that on my con. I don't want them thinking that about me. I'll never see this person again, of course, whoever's behind me. But, you know, I just don't want them to, I don't want to be that story that, oh, my God, one time I was in Pelican Pub and this chubby man went in there and just had diarrhea so bad that it wouldn't flush. So I don't want to be that guy. So I'm trying my best, trying to, it's splashing. I'm trying not to get it on me. And I give up. It's just not going to go down. It's not going to go down. So I go, all right, well, I've been in here for a long time. People are knocking. I'm just going to have to face these people. So I open the door and it's a beautiful woman, of course, without fail, because, you know, women can use men's bathrooms. It's really no big deal. Men using women's bathrooms. Yeah. You know, some people do it. I can never bring myself, especially in this age where you get accused of being a rapist. If you ask a girl out, I'm not going to use the woman's bathroom. And I just go, we make eye contact and I just say to her, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. And I just left the door open for her. And I had to leave. I told James, we have to go. I can't stay here. I can't be in this bar anymore. This is humiliating. I don't want her to come back and see my face after this because she thinks that I destroyed this bathroom. This poor girl just has to pee. And she's got to try to hover and just, you know, tinkle on top of that mess that's there. Oh, my God. It was humiliating. 813-693-2124. Did you get a rash at Pelican Pub? I want to hear about it. Sure. Let's talk. Let's chat. HMBradio.com is the website. This podcast is brought to you by, yeah, let's bring a sponsor after we're talking about diarrhea. That's good. Thank God Chrissy Parker is my friend at Truvian Salon and Spa. Truvian Salon and Spa. She is my pal, and she's a great hairstylist. You'll love her. Holidays are coming up. You're going to want to look good. You're going to want to embarrass Janet. You're going to want to outshine Janet. Janet is your sister-in-law, of course, obviously. You don't really get along. But you want to show her up this holiday season. The family's going to be together. You might as well make the best of it. Make your appointment today. Truvy, T-R-U-V is in Victory, Y, Salon, and Spa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Botox lady's coming. She's got a Botox lady that comes in, shoots poison in people's faces. And then it smooths it out. You want to look good? Beat Janet this year. Do not let Janet outshine you. Truvy Salon and Spa. .com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Folks, as you know, we live in a dumbass time. Culture is under attack. And we had some local backlash from our own Shine Festival. St. Petersburg does the annual Shine Festival mural. New murals are added. They hire local and some, you know, foreign artists from other states and other parts of the world to come in and paint our mural. Sebastian Coolidge kind of started the whole mural movement here. I always like his story. He kind of just asked somebody one day if he could paint a mural. We had a good art scene, but there was no murals on buildings and stuff. And the first one was the fresh squeezed store that's now Engine Number 9, I believe. I think they bought out the other side of that shop and made it more restaurant space. But that was the first one. It was just a guy squeezing a orange. Fresh squeezed. You know, it used to be like a clothing shop, I think, or something. And then the Ben saw it, and then they got him to paint a little mural on their building, and then it kind of just blew up from there. He made a career for himself. I always like Sebastian's story. Check him out. Sebastian Coolidge on Instagram if you're not following him already. And, you know, the arts kind of bloomed here in St. Petersburg. It's just a thing now. And the community's changing. And money's kind of flowing into the arts now. And now there's the Shine Music Festival. And there was a young man who lives in the community. And his name is Jabari Reed Diop, I think it is. He lives in the South Side. He's an artist. He did a little tiny mural painting an electrical box this week for the Shine Festival. And then he got a bunch of crap for it online. They didn't know who it was. Now, he happens to be a black kid, too. But that didn't seem to matter because there was racial stereotypes in some of his art. And people just see this art. They don't understand it. They don't really want to understand it. They like the outrage. They want to be the one who takes somebody down for the greater good. They want to be seen as the good guy. They spoke up. They did something brave. And they managed to take down this kid's art. A local kid who's black, who lives in the community, is a racist. This is where we're at now, folks. Let's listen to a story from Bay News 9.
Okay, so this is my character, I-Bombs.
I-Bombs may be an appropriate name for the artwork of 20-year-old Jabari Reed Diop. There was an explosion of negative comments online this week after a signal box across the street from John Hopkins Middle School was covered with some of his work.
I was a little surprised, like, how could people perceive it as something negative? But on the flip side, there was no writing with the piece, so I would understand how they would perceive it as something bad.
Part of the viral post protesting his work read in part,
You have to describe how things aren't. This is, you have to describe art now. Can you imagine? How did we get here? Art can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. This is what I hated about, I took art history classes in school when I was trying to be a graphic designer. And they would, you know, the teacher would ask you, what is this? Like, what does this symbolize here? What is this? And every once in a while, I was unlucky enough to be randomly selected to comment. And I would go, it means this. And I kind of blah, just barf something out. And they would go, no, that's not right. It actually means this. How do you know? Like, we're looking at some of this stuff from the Renaissance and even before. So it's meant to symbolize this. How the hell do you know? And they know because they all get together at these conferences and they come to a consensus is what it is. And then, but it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what it means. It's what you take away from it, not what it means. And these dumbasses online got pissed at him because they, like I said, they want to be the one to take somebody down. They want to be the one who stood up to some sort of injustice, called it out, and got it taken down. Even if it's at the detriment of somebody who lives in their own community, because they don't understand what they're talking about. They just see these things. Well, let's continue playing this video. He explains the work a little more.
Our quote, there are so many subliminal, disgusting, and racial pieces, in my opinion, about our Southside neighborhoods. Please share and have this removed. On Monday, it was.
On the shelves, they have.
This is another thing, too. Some jackass can just say something. Throw it, blah, barf it out into the ether, and everybody panics. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. It's not racist. Nobody wants to be racist. So they go, oh, God, let's just take it down. Now, forget the fact that it was done by a black kid who lives in the community. Then not even giving them a chance to explain it. They just take it down. Psh, all right, goodbye. It's gone. Nice balls, city.
Different, clever drug references.
The young artist from Childs Park says the words were removed from the original images. He explained the money in the pockets is from the kids he saw selling candy in school, and the high fructose corn syrup is usually what is sold in stores in the neighborhood. And the broccoli was to promote healthy eating by someone who looks like the people here.
It wasn't initially supposed to be there, so it's kind of like digging like a little pit for me, so because I can't really give an explanation because it wasn't supposed to be there.
The art was a part of the St. Pete Arts Alliance Shine Mural Festival. Jabari says even with the blowback, this exposure isn't all negative.
Now, Jabari was once a student here at John Hopkins Middle School across the street from where his artwork was on display. Now, St. Pete Art Alliance officials say even though that work was taken down, if they have it their way, his work will be replaced by the work of current students here.
But will this be the last we see of Jabari? Not if you ask St. Pete Art Alliance Executive Director John Collins.
Now that he has come out on Facebook and explained what his art means, now people are saying, oh, wait a minute, bring him back. So, you know, again, it's a 50-50 balance, so we will bring him back. He just won't be on that spot.
But now Jabari says he's hoping people will have a better understanding going forward. In St. Petersburg, Sandra Weathers, Spectrum, Bay News 9.
Can you? I don't understand how the hell we got here now. Some dumb bitch complained on Facebook and they took this kid's art down. Unbelievable. and now they want him back. If I were Jabari, I'd say, no, I don't want to work with you guys anymore. I don't know whose decision it was to take it down. I don't know if it was the Shine people, the Arts Alliance, or if it was the city that decided to take it down. Either way, I'd say, you know what, screw you. No, I'll do my own thing. All these artists now are competing for these grants, right? It became a community. At first, it was just kids doing art. And then money started to flow into it. So now everybody's competing for these. They want the money. I don't blame the artists for wanting the money. You should be paid for your work. And nobody's buying any art. You know, we have a few galleries down here, but it's all just rich, you know, old rich women that collect this stuff. And they don't collect the people that are working here. It's all curated crap that they have, like, on Beach Drive and stuff. And then they buy that stuff, and they overpay for it. So they're not buying local art. And that's just the way it goes. So these kids and people that are doing this art now, they're not being compensated for it. So they're scrambling to make money off of what they do. I feel you. I understand. I can't blame them for doing that, but they're all competing for this stuff, for this money that the city and whatever county puts in. And it just causes rifts in the community. Now they all hate each other. Not all of them. I know a lot of them are friends. But I know there's been some beef, you know, with some of these artists and some getting more money than others. And it's just caused so much. So, you know, trying to do the right thing, trying to supplement. Government just doesn't do anything well, including giving money away to artists. They should just butt out and let the market just kind of work itself. But holy crap. I cannot imagine just people with nothing better to do, just seeing a piece of art and going, oh, I find this offensive. Well, that's good if you find it offensive. Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you go, wow, I don't like this. This is stereotypes. Stereotypes are noticing things and saying it out loud. That's what art is. It's critiques of culture. It's to get some sort of reaction out of you. Good. If you find it offensive, good. Then why don't you find a way to change what you don't like about your community? And, you know, you can take away whatever you want. Some people will love it. Some people will be offended by it. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter. It's one person's interpretation. It's an artist's interpretation. That should be the only thing that matters. So like I said, I don't know if it was the Arts Alliance that pulled his art down or if it was the city. Either way, whoever did, you guys suck. So I was happy to see former President Barack Obama come out and kind of talk about this a little bit, because this wokeness is destroying. It's destroying culture. It's destroying art. It's destroying comedy. And he had something to say on it. I couldn't agree with him more.
You know, this idea of purity and you're never compromised and you're always politically woke and all that stuff. You should get over that quickly. The world is messy. There are ambiguities. People who do really good stuff have flaws. People who you are fighting may love their kids. And, you know, share certain things with you. And I think that one danger I see among young people, particularly on college campuses, Malia and I talk about this. Yara goes to school with my daughter. But I do get a sense sometimes now among certain young people, and this is accelerated by social media, there is this sense sometimes of the way of me making change is to be as judgmental as possible about other people. And that's enough. Like if I tweet or hashtag about how you didn't do something right or used the wrong verb, or then I can sit back and feel pretty good about myself, because, man, you see how woke I was? I called you out. Let me get on TV. Watch my show. Watch Grownish. You know, that's not activism. That's not bringing about change. You know, if all you're doing is casting stones, you know, you're probably not going to get that far. That's easy to do.
Yeah, and I agree with him. And unfortunately, it does enact change, though, because this dumb bitch on Facebook said something about this kid's art and got taken down. Just like that. So unfortunately, it does work, and we need to stop letting it work. When people complain, we need to understand that social media is not real life. It's not the reality of the situation. It's people with an axe to grind that are looking to inflict damage on other people because it's something that they didn't like. But everybody else might love it, though. This is the thing. Just don't react immediately. Let it play out. People get bored, and they tend to go away. They might say, this is never going to stop. This has just begun. I have personal experience with this. A coworker of mine ran into this, and they got bored and moved on to something else. So we need to stop. It does work, unfortunately, President Obama. It does work, and we need to stop letting it work. We need to come to an agreement that we're not going to let these people ruin everything. But, you know, Obama got criticized for saying something totally logical and reasonable. And they basically said, the New York Times put out a piece saying, shut up, boomer, pretty much. You don't know what you're talking about. So even Obama was kind of like the guy. He still got a lot of reverence with, you know, my peer group that I have. They still love him. My friend Caitlin still wears her Obama earrings. But, yeah, even Obama's not untouchable anymore. They'll go after him, too. But, yeah, we got to stop letting this stuff work. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. Let me know what you think. HMBRadio.com is the website. You can get in touch with me over there. And, of course, on Twitter and Instagram, home_made_man.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by HomemadePodcast.com. Homemade Podcast is a media consulting company that I believe in because it's my company. If you're interested in podcasting but don't know how to get started, whether it's RSS feeds, hardware, software, any of that good stuff, I can help you. Contact me today at homemadepodcasts.com or leave a message at 813-693-2124. Or maybe you're a local business owner looking for a more affordable way of advertising. Why not advertise with this program? That's right, us, right here. Get a hold of me, 813-693-2124. This week on Stay Woke, Stay Woke is a radio program I co-host with my friend Anna Hummel every weeknight at midnight on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay. You can find it at theboneonline.com if you're away from the area, or you can get the app. Just search 102.5 The Bone. Download it. You get all the local weather, traffic, news, all that good stuff. You're going to love it, plus all the other fantastic Bone content. And Stay Woke on demand, so you don't have to stay up till midnight to listen to it. This week we talked about a study that was released that says that men overall are funnier than women, tend to be funnier. It's science. People were mad about this. We talked about it. Let's check out this clip from Stay Woke.
It says here that comedians are not happy because there's a study that claims that men, in fact, are funnier than women. Says here, the study claims that 63% of men could pen funnier jokes than women. Obviously, they're not, the ladies are not happy about this, the female comedians. It says here they have hit back at a study that claims men are funnier than women. Researchers from, that is a weird ass name for a university, whatever, in North Carolina conducted a meta-analysis of 28 studies which examined how funny around 5,000 people were. It says here they found that 63% of men were supposedly funnier than the average woman. Notice they're saying average. So, you know, of course, the lady comedians are calling and they're not happy, but they're the exception, right? I would say even male comedians are the exception because I would say probably most men are not comedians, obviously. But if we're looking at averages here, then yes, I would probably agree with this that men are, in fact, funnier on average. Now, there's always a few exceptions. I like to think I'm one of them. You know, I've been in two relationships. I was leaps and bounds funnier than both of them. Mm-hmm. That's not what they brought to the table. And right. That's okay, but that's unusual. I understood that was unusual. You know, they weren't the joke makers. You know, leave that to me. That's what I do. That's what I bring to the table. And that is pretty much all I bring to the table because I really don't have any other good attributes. 727-579-1025. And that is not a joke. That's not me being funny. That's just me being real. That's okay. But it reminded me, Will, of, do you know one Christopher Hitchens?
I do.
Philosopher, author, awesome man all around. I'm trying to think of his other qualifications. An intellectual, okay? He posted a video about this 11 years ago. He said that men are empirically funnier than women, and he made a case that I'm just going to let him do the talking because that's what he does well. So this is what he claims, that men are funnier than women, and he explains why. Here we go.
Sarah Silverman, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and writer Alessandra Stanley are striking back in Vanity Fair. Think Christopher Hitchens is worried? Think again.
There's only a dispute about what the answer is. There is no question that for women, the need or ability to be funny is tremendously less than it is among men. Nobody has been found to deny that. Alessandra doesn't even try to deny it. If you were to ask me, has reading her article made me reconsider my view that women aren't, but as a gender, funny, I would say very much to the contrary. She's been unable to write this piece without direct reference to the exceptions I made as well as the examples that I gave. And she even at one point echoes what I think is my strongest point, namely that women don't need to be funny. That for most men, if they can't make women laugh, they are out of the evolutionary contest. They are never going to get laid. Most men are fantastically unattractive. What women see in them is mysterious to most men as well as most women. If you can't make them laugh, you don't have a chance. With women, there's no need to be rendering yourself attractive to men in that way. We already find you attractive. Thanks.
I love that. I love that.
I thought I paused it.
So that what he's basically saying is, in the evolutionary context, there's really no pressure, evolutionary pressure, for women to be funny. So therefore, I mean, women can be funny, but because there's less of a pressure, it's not going to be manifested as much as it is in men. Again, of course, there are exceptions. People seem to don't understand how science works. They didn't say 100% of men are funnier than 100% of women. Clearly, that's not the case. And I'm funnier than most guys that I know, just around. Right. Maybe not in the station, but you know, generally speaking, I think I'm funnier than most men. But in the context of generalizations and most men and most women, I don't even think that there's even an argument there. So
yeah, you watch these people become science deniers with this stuff.
Yeah,
they totally, you know, these are the people who scream about, you know, global warming is mm-hmm. climate change and all this other stuff. But then when some science comes out that's contradictory to what they believe,
mm-hmm.
and these people believe there's a narrative. It's so funny, man. I was talking to one of my friends,
mm-hmm.
very progressive lady, great person.
Have I met her?
No.
Okay.
But she, I really believe her politics are fashion, because when we talk on a one-to-one level
mm-hmm.
basis, I'll say stuff to her. She goes, yeah, totally. You're totally right. So, like, for example, we were talking about dating and stuff. And she was saying she was having a hard time with the online stuff. And, you know, and everybody is. I go, yeah, I know. Me too. I'm having mm-hmm. a tough time with it, too. But, and I was saying, well, you know, because she was saying, you know, these guys just want to have sex with you. And then they're not interested anymore. I go, well, that's kind of how guys are. That's kind of how we evolved. Our job is to seed as many plants as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And women's mm-hmm. job is to kind of be more selective with it, find the best of the best. So it's kind of unfair, but it's kind of how we mm-hmm. got to be 7 billion people on this planet and mm-hmm. be the number one species on this planet, most mm-hmm. successful species. And she goes, and I was like, you know, and there's this thing in culture where they're telling women just to be like one of the guys, be one of the dudes, you know, bang. There's no, and there's not as many repercussions from that behavior because we have modern, you know, technology like birth control and stuff. So there's not as much risk for women. But I think it's still...
It Fs with the female psychology.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going against what it evolved to be, the
right.
nature that evolved
and again,
to be.
And again, I've met maybe one woman in my life who was able to detach, like, sex from any sort of, emotional attachment. And she was definitely the anomaly, or she just maybe didn't like the guy that, you know, it could have just been him where she was just like, I'm just trying to get my fix and there's someone else I like more. But listen, What I like about the modern era is everything is equal, right? Equal opportunity. If you want to bang like the men, you're more than welcome to do it. There sure. should be, you know, there obviously, oh, yeah. like this isn't Indonesia, people, this isn't Saudi Arabia. You're not going to get flogged. You're not going to get hung. You're not going to get your hands chopped off or anything like that. Absolutely, you should be able to do whatever you want. But ought you do it is the question. And you have to ask yourself that question, because do you feel good after you're done? Do you feel good when you, and men too, men don't feel great, I don't think. I mean, I think that there's probably a period where it's fun, and then afterwards it gets old, it gets cheap, you feel like this is meaningless, I want something more meaningful. That typically gets obviously more with age with men, as they want to just kind of settle down and they're tired of hunting. But yeah, I would tell women to be in tune with their psychology, which is different than men's. You know, I wouldn't say it's wildly different, but it's different. And so it's okay to say, listen, I did this. I maybe had a one night stand. It made me feel cheap. It made me feel gross. Instead of blaming other people and saying that society did it, go, okay, no, I feel bad internally. Even if it is society that's telling me I'm a slut, whatever it is, if it makes you feel bad, just use that as information and just don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
For your own sanity, you know?
Yeah, and people are going against their nature. So when she's upset about, like, because I really believe that the culture is telling women, just, yeah, be one of the guys. That's what I think. And girls can do anything. And she's one of these people who puts
out
these posts.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, within reason,
no, they
I guess.
Can. Yeah. It's just, again, you have to understand that there are repercussions to everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes you inflict them on yourself. If you can get away with it and you feel great doing that, I've yet to meet a woman really who can get away with just having unattached sex all the time and it's totally fine and they don't feel bad when the guy doesn't call them back. That's very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, you can do it, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be good for you. You know, you can eat whatever you want. You can eat yourself
yeah,
to death.
Sure.
Doesn't mean it's a good idea is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you shouldn't do it. So when you go against your nature, you end up feeling bad
crappy
about this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I'm telling her this, and I'm like, she's not going to want to hear this, because she's one of these people who puts up these girl power, futurist female, like all this type stuff. But then when I talk to her, I go, yeah, but, you know, men and women are different. And she goes, oh, yeah. Or I said, they're telling people that we're the same. Men and women are the same. And she goes, yeah, but we're not, though. And I go, I know. That's what I'm saying, mm-hmm. but that's what they're telling. So these people don't even believe their own bullcrap.
It's very strange, because on some levels the propaganda is, you know, females are better, or embrace femininity, which is different than masculinity, right?
It is.
So it's, you're embracing the differences, but then you also, in that same kind of group of people, it's also, the propaganda is also preaching we're the same. Gender is a social construct. So it's like, well, you're telling me to embrace my femininity because it's what's special and different about me, but also it doesn't matter because it doesn't even exist in the first place? Like,
right.
It seems to be contradicting.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. And God forbid you praise masculinity whatsoever. You are totally
demonized. Which is what a lot of, and most women are attracted to. So it's funny that they're, like, cutting their nose despite their face. Like, they want these masculine alpha men, but they're kind of like criticizing them heavily on social media and in person. You know, like, you shouldn't be that way. You're a chauvinistic pig. It's like, no, you're a leader. You're alpha, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. And and the culture says that this is what you should do. So these people just go, okay. And for some, it's a religion. Those people who really
yeah.
do believe it, it's worshiping at the cathedral. Like, if you say anything against them, they're going to have a panic attack.
Yeah.
They're going to scream and yell and call
right.
you names and a fascist and all this stuff. And then there's other people, like my friend, who's, I think she's just doing it because
it's fashion, like you said.
Yeah, it's just something cool to do. Like, it's something neat to put on your Instagram. And I think that's how most, the vast majority, 90% of these
yeah.
people are. But, you know, going back to the comedy thing,
yeah,
that's an evolutionary thing. I think Hitchens is right. Men
yeah.
were kind of, you have to do certain things to compensate for things that you
don't have.
Lack. Right. And what we, men are, have to impress women, and humor is a way to do that,
it's like flexing
to stand
your
out.
Mental
Peacocking.
Muscles. It is, and in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a secondary male strategy. Not to say that alphas don't have to be funny or that if you're funny, you're not an alpha. I'm not trying to make that claim. But if you're really not attractive and you're maybe short, which a lot of women maybe is not their preference, and whatever it is, you got hair in the wrong places, your face is, you know, somewhat asymmetrical, you have to have a personality.
But
that's the only thing that's going to get you laid.
Right, because I would say that alphas would be less likely to be funny because they have everything else going for them. It's something else that maybe non-alphas can kind of develop.
That's
to
what
put
I'm
in
saying.
The repertoire
a secondary
to,
right. male strategy, whereas, okay, I don't have the actual muscles to flex, so I got to flex other muscles, my mental muscles,
right.
and that's kind of how you get around it. And also people, I would also say that humor is also a way maybe to diffuse male aggression with each other. Right. If you can kind of make another guy laugh, maybe he's less likely to hurt you, you know, because men are more aggressive than women are on average.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing.
I saw this thing, too. It was, do you know who Bonnie McFarland is? She's married to Rich Voss.
Oh, no. I know Rich Voss.
She's pretty famous. I mean, I guess relatively famous. Yeah. In the comedy world. She's a great, great comic and she's a woman. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But she had this, I think Comedy Central did. It was years back. She decided... And these people are so sure that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
So she believes that if she did her material as a man, she would be a superstar. That she's so good that she would be super famous if she was
how
just
do you
a
even
man.
How do you,
well,
do you test that?
Here's how she tested it. And I think it was from a Comedy Central thing. It was years ago. I found it. I can send it to you. You should watch it. But anyway, so she dresses as a man.
Okay.
She puts on
is
a beard.
Is it believable or?
The voice is kind of off, but yeah, she's got a beard on. She kind of looked like David Tell, same like dress that he had, like the big trench coat.
Yeah.
Said that, you know, he wrote for HBO shows, and I think Barry Katz is how he introduced himself. So she went up there as Barry Katz, did her material, and ate it. Ate a big old D.
Like worse than when she was just a regular female?
Yes. Yeah. and she was so distraught, I think, because her... theory that she swore was right, that if I was a guy, I would be super famous. People don't take me seriously in this business because I'm a woman. There's a lot of that. That's the victim complex, the victim culture that's going on. People play it all the time.
Yeah.
If only I was this, you know, people don't take me seriously because I'm a woman or I'm black or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go up there and try their, and I give her props for getting up there and trying her theory, and it failed, and she was devastated by it. She was sitting there crying. It was so weird. It was Rich Voss putting her arm around her, and she's dressed as this guy with a beard, and he's just crying.
Oh, no.
It was so off-putting.
All right, there we go. Stay Woke Midnights 102.5 The Bone. Make sure you get the app. Download it. Subscribe to the Homemade broadcast while you're there because you got the HMB sides, which come out on Friday and are only available at hmbradio.com and on the podcast feed. So get that. And with that, I will leave you. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thank you. Couldn't do it without you. Appreciate you. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Have a great week. Will Koontz. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.